listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. Hey everybody, it's Qualler.
And Bridget.
This is Blogulator Radio, episode 13. I can't believe we've done...
Lucky 13.
This is our 13th episode. Some might say it's kind of unlucky.
Some might say...
It's a good song, Bridget. Yeah.
We're not talking about songs, we're talking about TV.
As we always do every week on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. We also write about pop culture at theblogulator.com, and here at Blogulator Radio, we skewer and fawn over all things television. And why is that, Bridget?
Because we like TV.
And is there a more specific, slogan-driven reason that we do that?
We like it.
Because...
our opinions are valid. I get it.
Yeah, sorry, I was kind of leading the witness there a little bit.
That's fine. Yeah, our opinions are valid, and here we are talking about what's news... on the TV.
So yeah, we have a few different things we want to talk about today. Segment one is a little segment. Bridget and I, driving back from out of town this weekend, we were trying to think of new titles for segments. And, you know, there's every week there's always some TV news. Some of it's kind of boring, but some of it is kind of interesting
Yes, some boring, some interesting, and some in the middle.
You know how news works.
It's a good description, Qualler.
You guys read the newspaper, don't you?
Let's get to the segment. This segment one, it's called What's News?
News. Question mark.
First, we'll talk about the killing.
Yeah, so last week, Chris and Jerxica somehow managed to make it all the way through the first season of the AMC's The Killing.
And good for them.
Good for them. You know,
shows a lot of gumption.
Yeah, we didn't have that kind of gumption.
No, we didn't.
We watched the first three episodes together.
I watched the first two episodes, and then I slept through the third.
Okay. Well, that's telling right there. What were your initial thoughts? Because I know when we first netcast about this show...
We were pretty excited about it. This is one that we were looking forward to.
I think so.
Right? We gave it a watch.
We were pretty excited, and I think we were all swept up by the whole AMC Story Matters Here, marketing ploy. Obviously, Mad Men is a good show. Breaking Bad is a great show. Both are great shows, really. Mm-hmm. Rubicon was an interesting show.
Competent.
Exactly. The competent Rubicon. And what was that other one? The Walking Dead. That was okay. Yeah. That was all right.
The Killing, the first episode, I was kind of into it. Actually, more than kind of. I think we were pretty excited by the first couple of episodes, weren't we?
Yeah, but that's true. I kind of stopped watching, though. Kind of wanted to see, get a peripheral idea of if it was keeping up with its potential. And as the season went on, it seemed like it wasn't really living up to its potential. And then last week, of course, is the now very infamous season finale.
No resolution.
Where there's no resolution about the whole Rosie Larson thing. And not only that, but a lot of idiotic plot twists that left, obviously, Chris and Jerxica and a host of other very influential critical eyes in the TV blogosphere quite angry. So that meant that showrunner Venus Sood, I think that's how you pronounce her name.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Venasaud. That meant she was on the defensive this week, and thus AMC, the network, was as well.
And what do you do when you're on the defensive and you're getting some slack for how your show ended?
Well,
you compare yourself to The Sopranos, of course.
Clearly, a show that it's in its first season and had a critically panned first season finale should compare itself to The Sopranos. I'm just going
to
read...
Not just to The Sopranos, but to The Sopranos series finale.
Series finale, yeah. This is from an interview with Venus Sood in The Hollywood Reporter this week. She said, I'm about the season finale of The Killing, which it did get renewed by AMC, by the way, so there will be a second season, unless AMC pulls a takesies backsies.
Oh, don't do that, AMC.
A la HBO when they did that to Tell Me You Love Me.
Oh.
Which, you know, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
That's all right.
Yeah. So what Venus Sood said is, I'm flattered and I guess surprised a little bit, but certainly it's a good feeling to know people are watching and talking about the show.
And can I stop you here, caller? That would have been a great quote.
She could have just stopped there.
She could have just said, you know, yeah.
She really should have just stopped there.
But she goes on to say,
I mean, the last time I felt this personally myself and saw this type of reaction was when The Sopranos ended its run. Obviously with that fairly ambiguous final scene. I'm going to say final scene. It wasn't really an ending that was ambiguous. We'll talk about that later. I'll continue with her quote. If the show can be in that company, it's a deep compliment.
Now let's back up. Let's take another pause here.
Bridget, you're a rhetoric. study rhetric at the University of Minnesota in the PhD program.
You're giving away way too much about my identity.
We'll cut
stalkers.
That out later.
But because people are complaining about your show, the way it ended, and there being no resolution. To say that that means that it's keeping the same company as the series finale of The Sopranos, which some critics, those who totally misunderstood the purpose of the show,
right,
also said had no resolution, is to yourself misread what The Sopranos was actually about, because I don't think that The Killing is actually a portrait of life in America.
Right.
The Killing is thematically... or any other way really linked to The Sopranos.
In any way.
Also, The Sopranos wasn't a murder mystery.
Right,
it's not the kind of thing that's driving to
the
a...
Killing.
Right. Well, The Sopranos wasn't the type of show that needs to have some kind of... That's where the whole thing would be driving to some kind of resolution. Also, I would say that season by season, there was some kind of resolution in terms of, like, different things happening, characters coming and going...
Well,
you know, so, like, I just think that it's, I don't know, my reaction is, really? That's what you're going to compare yourself to? Yeah, humble brag. So, oh, you didn't like it? Well, people also didn't like Jesus.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry to jump there, Jesus fans, but, like, really? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and the last part of her quote was that, unlike The Sopranos, which will never resolve the mystery of its last scene, this is paraphrasing what... They were asking her, obviously. Sood vows to clear everything up. She says, I want to let people know and assure fans that they will know who killed Rosie Larson in season 2.
So
do you think anybody's going to care by then?
Well, also, not only is she first comparing it to The Sopranos, but then she's kind of saying, actually, it's not at all like The Sopranos.
It's better than The Sopranos.
Because we will clear it up, right.
Right.
So first, it's the same as The Sopranos, even though it's not, because The Sopranos wasn't looking... The Sopranos, in my opinion, did have a resolution. It just wasn't the kind of resolution that people necessarily were expecting. But to say that... My show is just like The Sopranos because critics didn't like it. I feel like she's pulling the old high school debate move where...
pulling the Hitler card.
Yes, thank you. And that's what I was trying to do earlier with pulling the Jesus card.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, you can't just jump right there, right? And it just seems like there's... I don't know. Yeah, humble brag. I don't know. You really think what you're doing is The Sopranos? Really?
Yeah. As a Sopranos... lover, as probably in my top three shows of all time, that pretty much that quote guarantees that I'll never watch the show. I'll never try to watch it. I'll definitely not watch it in season 2, and I might not even. It also makes me a little wary of AMC as a network.
Well, it makes me think that she as a showrunner also kind of misread The Sopranos.
Well, yeah.
I mean, to compare one thing to the other. It also, and maybe we're taking this too out of context, you know, sometimes you say stuff in an interview. I don't necessarily want to condemn her, but...
I do.
But you know, yeah. I feel like if you're going to compare it to something, compare it to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot more parallelisms. That one I could have understood. Okay, sure.
The difference, though, is...
Well, there's still a big difference, but it's at least a little closer than...
The thing about... That comparison is, as Twin Peaks went on, it was clear the show wasn't only about who killed Laura Palmer.
And you're saying the killing is whereas still just about killing, who killed Rosie Parker?
Right.
Yes.
The rest of the material in the show was not nearly... It was not a universe that was really interesting. There wasn't supernatural kind of stuff happening.
Okay, sure.
There weren't side characters that you were really interested and invested in.
So that comparison wouldn't aside, work either, really.
I think maybe she should have just said, you know what? I understand. I'm glad that people are talking about it, and we'll be back in season two.
Right, and,
the
you
end.
Know, I would have said, hey, ever heard of a cliffhanger? Like, on the other, I want to just take the flip side and...
Sure.
And, like...
Play a little devil's advocate.
Stop complaining that there's no resolution. Like, do you want everything to be necessarily wrapped up at the end of a season? Seasons of shows used to always end on some sort of a cliffhanger. I know it wouldn't have been a slow-build cliffhanger for an entire season, but still. Like,
I think the difference, though, in this case is that the marketing very heavily promoted the fact that there would be a resolution. And also the show that it's based on in its first season also had a resolution.
Whoa, back up. It's based on another show?
Yeah.
It's not
based
even
on a Danish show.
It's not even original.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Canceled. It's
yeah.
not, but it is for us.
So, I think in conclusion, Vina, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, don't ever compare yourself to The Sopranos again, or else you might have a little gabagoo up in your something else Italian.
Yeah. Vina, if you're listening, you know, we're just bloggers, what do we know? Don't hate us, we'd love to work for you. Let's move on to what else is news.
So, tonight, and when you're listening to this, it would be last night, is the season premiere of the fourth season premiere of True Blood. Stuckhouse on HBO. Such a good theme song. Bridget, we watched the first 8 minutes of the premiere before it was even on.
And we watched the first three seasons, and I was a big fan all the way through. I actually liked it better and better as it went on. Qualler and Chris kind of petered out.
A little True Blood fatigue, I think.
They're a little too hoity-toity to enjoy True Blood the way the masses are meant to enjoy True Blood.
Right.
I think what he said in the shower this morning.
What I said is, I'd rather read New Yorker cartoons.
I think what he said was, I'd rather submit to the New Yorker cartoon caption.
Plebeian True Blood program that's obviously beneath me.
And then he compared himself to The Sopranos.
Exactly.
I love True Blood. I love it for what it is, and I think...
And granted, I'm not going to put this show in my top anything, probably, but I enjoy watching it, partially for the nudity. Partially just for the crazy stuff that happens.
Qualler gets nudity wherever he can take it because I never let him see me naked.
She's a never nude.
I'm a never nude. Throwback.
Yeah.
But anyway, True Blood, we watched the first 8 minutes.
And you know what? I actually, even though I think the last season kind of petered out after Dennis O'Hare chewed up scenery and had that great scene at the end of that episode where he was on network news and just like went kind of crazy.
Oh, I loved that.
That was pretty cool. I genuinely like that Sookie is a fairy, because that's just kind of like, all right, fairies. Why not add more creatures
to
the mix?
I love that True Blood. One thing that always kind of was difficult for me when it came to shows with supernatural stuff is it's like, okay, so in this universe there are one kind of magic thing, but other kind of magic doesn't exist. The other kind of magic is crazy. You know,
you
so like,
well
why would there
magic.
Just be vampires but not other stuff? So I appreciate that True Blood is kind of like, yeah, in this universe, all that stuff is actually all real, and it's just we're just going totally crazy with it. And I like that it's kind of being revealed slowly, and that it's kind of taking people a while to believe it. Like, I really loved that, like, okay, so we now live in a world where we know that there are vampires, but I'm going to be really resistant to believing in something like a werewolf, or I'm going to be really resistant to believing in a shapeshifter, or like a fairy, you know, so it kind of, a little Alan Ball. I don't know where that came from. Poking a little fun at our,
Sopranos.
Maybe our cynicism. Maybe it's really about our inability to trust. I can't help
what
it.
I was going to say is I liked the fireballs at the beginning. That's all. That was my only thoughts about the True Blood.
And should we explain why we only watched the first 8 minutes?
They They gave us a free sneak preview on our cable package. That's why. Why?
Right. I just want to clear up that we didn't watch the first 8 minutes and then turn it off.
Right, right. So, it's a sneak preview.
Sneak preview.
We'll watch it in some other way later. Anyway, the point of talking about True Blood in the What's News section is... is Alan Ball recently said a few interesting things. One is he doesn't remember anything that happened in season three, which, like, amen, brother.
Hey,
none of us remember.
I do. Thank you.
Tell me three things that happened.
Bill was kidnapped.
Okay, but that was the end of season two.
Okay, well, Bill was discovered.
Okay, but that's kind of an extension of season
two. There were werewolves.
Okay, that's not a plot twist, though.
You said things that happened, Jerkface. Well, so we found out that Sookie was a fairy.
Okay.
We found out, Bill attacked Sookie.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of...
there's a new love interest, two new love interests for Sookie, one being Eric,
so
and the other
enough.
Being the werewolf. I can keep going.
I don't
Lafayette
want you
finally
to,
has a love interest.
Please,
we like
stop.
That.
Okay.
Some
anyway.
Of us like this show.
God, you get so defensive. I don't hate it, I just...
Because when you criticize True Blood, it's like you're criticizing whimsy.
This is clearly marriage therapy and not medcasting. Anyway.
Divorce.
So that was one thing he said. One is I hardly remember anything about season three. Second is he just finished writing, show running season four, and he was exhausted and, was about to start negotiating for his contract for season five. And there's some rumblings, from him and from other sources saying, season five might be his last season helming the show. That doesn't necessarily mean the show is going to be canceled. Obviously, I think it's the kind of show that
kind of writes itself.
It's especially the more
you kind of get a class of fifth graders to write it, and I don't mean that as a criticism.
Right. I mean the more different kinds of supernatural characters are added, the more it just becomes like a 90210 for.
But I'm imagining like one of those class assignments, like maybe fourth or fifth grade, where you all had to contribute to a story. And each person got to add whatever twist they wanted.
Right.
So, like, it's
like
Billy's turn.
You're
and
on a
now
field trip.
The dragon came. And the dragons could eat the fairies. But, oh, now it's Sally's turn. But the fairies had special extra powers that the dragons didn't know about yet.
So, Bridget, what we're saying is this could be a show that could be written by nerdy eighth graders on a field trip to their Knowledge Bowl meets who are sitting next to each other and start a story. And
is this something that happened to you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Something we did all the time. It's fun times.
I was talking hypothetically.
Oh, I'm saying this literally could... Well, okay. Hypothetical, real, I don't know.
So what we're saying is we love / hate True Blood. We don't really care whether Alan... Oh, now he wants to speak for himself.
Do you see what's happening here? Help me.
Stop privileging site. We're podcast.
Okay.
Podcast.
I know. So Bridget.
Yes.
Say Alan Ball decided that he was going to make season five of True Blood his last show running the show. Would that stop you from watching True Blood? I think I know the answer.
Hell no.
Okay.
You want to know why? Because I don't like Alan Ball very much. I think True Blood would be better without him, because stop pretending that it means something. And let's just have fun.
That's the thing. I think True Blood would be a better show without the kind of...
heavy-handed symbolism?
Yeah. Yeah. Heavy-handed symbolism. Sure.
Though,
I actually think it seems like it's been fairly apparent throughout the show's run that it seems like he doesn't really care that much about True Blood, that it's kind of like maybe a joke show that he, like... just got a little out of hand, and now he's what do you know, it's season five and it's like HBO's biggest hit, and
he doesn't know what
now
to do.
And he's kind of like, how do I back away from this thing? Right.
I don't want to make another stupid movie.
That's funny that you say all this, because you love 6 Feet Under, which is also written by Alan Ball, and you're a huge
My least favorite episodes are the one that he actually wrote,
but that I'm finding is not exactly true for me.
Wow.
it's not exactly... It's kind of one of those...
Alan Ball's fine. I like Six Feet Under. I like True Blood. I don't like American Beauty even a little bit. And when there are glimpses of an American Beauty in Six Feet Under or True Blood, that's when I'm like, that's it. That would be the part of the therapy session where if Alan and I were sitting next to each other, and what's his name?
Kevin Williamson, or, Gabriel, Dr. In Paul Dr. Weston.
Yeah, Dr. Paul Weston
from,
was...
In treatment.
Right, well, he was talking about stuff, like, we'd be civil, and then Alan would, like, start filming a paper bag, or start talking about it, and I would get up and...
Be like, this therapy is over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think, Alan, you're free to leave True Blood.
Yeah, you have our blessing.
You do a good job of developing shows that are not supernatural based.
Right.
Maybe get Kevin Williamson to balance you out a little
bit. And actually, this is what we've been talking about for a while, Alan. We got a project for you and one for Kevin after he wrapped Scream 4, which was
great. Well, but
great.
He's also working on The Vampire Diaries right now.
I know, but he...
And another show on the CW.
He can do three things at once.
Could he?
He's Kevin Williamson.
Kevin Effin Williamson.
I think Alan Ball, Kevin
the
Williamson...
The man created Dawson's
need
Creek.
To co-
he can do no wrong.
...create a series. And I think it might be the best thing that we've ever seen.
Could be. So, that is what's news this week. Coming up on our next segment, which is right now. we're going to talk about a few shows that recently premiered. One of them is a series premiere, and the other is a season premiere.
Season 2.
And the first show is Falling Skies on TNT. Bridget, what do you think?
Liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I liked that we could flip back and forth between Falling Skies and the Miss USA pageant.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really miss anything. I'm also happy about Noah Wiley's return to television, because...
Noah Wiley is...
Good for you.
Super underrated as a TV actor, I think.
I would agree.
You know, he was on ER for such a freaking long time.
He was a huge star on ER, too, and then that kind of petered out. I mean, ER's popularity.
ER, right. And, you know, I always loved Noah Wiley on that show, as Bridget and I... found as we flipped through a scrapbook of my childhood. I owned an ER t-shirt.
I didn't even know you could buy
when
ER
I was
t-shirts.
11. So obviously I'm kind of a mega fan.
Mm-hmm.
So Noah Wiley, I think, is a very good presence in the show.
Okay.
Obviously, from producer Steven Spielberg means there's going to be a little bit of child that's adorable child
uh-huh.
syndrome.
They're kind
which,
of a lot
you know
of
what? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's... for a show that's about aliens who have come to Earth to roost, I don't mind a child that's a little precocious.
I like that it's aliens coming, but, like, it's after the fact.
Yeah, I like that about the premiere. The premiere does not open with a big... battle showing how the aliens got
there's
to
actually
Earth.
Very little human alien fighting in the premiere.
Yeah, a lot of walking.
Lot
there
of
are
walking.
Some aliens, but a lot more walking.
Kind of an Exodus show, maybe?
Sure. But it opens with a child's reenactment through children's pictures of what the aliens did when they came to Earth. And it was actually, that made it kind of sad and kind of like. This now I immediately connected with characters,
and it gave it a real emotional connection to something that seems really kind of silly in sci-fi,
right.
Which is the aliens attack the Earth. But
yeah,
it was good. I don't know. I don't really know what to say about the plot. Army people are kind of in charge now, and then there.
But
are
Noah Wiley
civilians.
Also, he's kind of more of a people's champion.
Sure,
you know, it's kind of for the people. History.
Right.
He's
so
a history professor.
So there's infighting even within the humans.
Right.
So if he's a history
Imagine
professor,
that.
How come he's one of the army people, too?
He's not one of the army people.
But it seemed like he was kind of in charge.
Well, the army people were kind of like, people are responding to you, Noah Wiley, why don't you lead these people?
Maybe I did miss some of it.
Maybe we should rewatch it. Yeah.
No, I gave it a... Yeah, go ahead. It's a good, exciting summer series. Nothing too heavy.
Yeah, and it's
the aliens
similar,
are scary.
Similar to The Walking Dead in that it's just kind of a... Except that, for some reason, The Walking Dead being on AMC kind of comes with the connotation that this is a little bit higher art.
Right.
Which makes it a little tougher to love. Whereas this is a show on TNT, Granted, from what I've seen of Men of a Certain Age, it's a show I kind of enjoy. But TNT is not exactly the home of high drama in general. So I think, you know, coming back to the old branding thing, I can enjoy it being on TNT. So Falling Skies.
Yeah, we like it.
Thumbs up.
You can read more about it on thebloggulator.com.
Yes, you can. The next show that premiered this past week is FX's wonderful, fantastic, amazing...
comedy.
More adjectives. Bridget, help me.
I don't know. Good.
Really, really great.
Funny.
Louie. Starring and written by, starring, directed and edited by Louis C.K.
And I actually just learned recently from you, Qualler, that he not only writes and stars in it, but also actually edits all of it and directs
it. Which
is
what I just said.
Right, I know, but I... So. Wow. Do you hear what I put up with, Internet?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah, I was just...
Sorry.
I was just trying to say that I didn't know that before and that that makes me like the show even more. But why don't you talk? And I'll just sit over here.
No. No, please help me. So the season premiere... Now this is awkward.
It's getting weird.
This is getting weird. Why do we always end up fighting on this podcast?
I don't know. Why can't we be more like Chris and Drixica?
Yeah, they never fight.
No.
Never. So the season premiere was on this past Thursday, and Bridget, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. Laugh Attack.
And the season premiere, it was called Pregnant, and it was, helped me out a little bit, because I honestly
it was Louis's
fell asleep,
sister.
Sleep a little bit.
Was
right.
pregnant.
Right.
And
she was at his apartment, right?
Yeah, it's hard to talk about the plot of the Louis C.K. show, because it's...
There isn't a whole lot of plot.
It doesn't sound that great when you talk about it, but it's
what I appreciate. What I appreciate about it, and I think what I put my finger on this week watching the premiere, is half of what's funny is just Louis running around with kind of like a scared look on his face, and like the music that he picks for the background music is perfect because it's kind of that Charlie Brown-esque like piano.
Maybe that's who he is,
frantic.
Like a grown-up real-world Charlie Brown.
I really think there are a lot of parallels between Louis and Charlie Brown.
And
for
did
real.
You know that Louis C.K. actually edits it himself too?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
Bridget.
I'm glad that you didn't already say it.
Right. A few times. Okay. Yeah, that's part, I think 50% of what I love about it is just him running around and that kind of piano music in the background. You know, I think everybody can relate to Louis.
I can't because I'm really perfect.
Right. Well, almost everybody can relate to Louis. And part of it, too, is it has a sweet core to it. He obviously loves his two daughters, who are really cute, which is also a bonus. the stand-up bits that are interspersed within the show also are very funny. So, you know, Louis, it's back on the air. If you don't watch it, Bridget's laughing at me because I'm holding her head up, trying to be a good husband here.
I'm sorry, folks. Things are getting a little silly.
This is what happens when you travel in a car for too long.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Speaking of silly.
Watch it.
Yeah, we like Louis. It's funny. It's poignant. I feel like we've talked a lot about it in general, but it looks like so far from the season 2 premiere, it's going to be as funny as the first.
Yeah.
So hasn't lost his edge, his edgy
hasn't
comedy.
Hasn't lost his...
He's
yeah, there's a commercial here in Minneapolis where he's coming to a local casino, and the commercial says something about Louis C.K. has a successful comedy show, has starred in Hollywood movies, and he's still not happy.
And it's always like...
And it's like his brand is like usual comedy bits, and then it talks about
how edgy he is,
yeah,
and then the comedy bits. So I got kids.
Right.
Laugh. Yeah.
Sometimes I don't like my kids.
He's Frank. Laugh. I guess he's maybe we're just desensitized to edgy because of all the HBO,
right?
And Showtime.
All the like
and internet porn.
All the porn that we watch.
Yeah, so much porn. Should we round this sucker up?
Yeah, why don't we go to segment three? So Louis, obviously good. We'll watch Wilfred, which also premiered on FX last week. We haven't watched that yet.
It's a little weird,
we'll watch that. We trust you, FX, unlike AMC here in the doghouse. Get it, Wilfred, because it's about a dog. Anyway.
Rounding out our crickets. Show, segment three. Friday Night Lights, damn it, we love you.
Yeah.
We've talked about this ad nauseum.
We have.
But we watched this week's episode just last night.
Episode 10.
On Hulu.
Don't Go.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched it actually with my dad and my younger brother, Al Q, who's... I don't think we've ever watched the show with them.
No, and it was...
We got them started on the show, and then this is the first time we actually all watched
it. Sat down together as a family.
Like
you do. To watch it. Damn it.
And, my God, this was...
Oh, I cried. I don't think his dad and brother have ever seen me cry.
No, I don't
think so.
Maybe
at our wedding, but... Maybe. I think I cried 5 times during this week's episode. It was just...
Yeah, and for an episode...
After touching.
Yeah, for an episode that wasn't particularly... kind of a standalone episode. It was very much like a continuing plot type episode. Damn. There were a lot of great scenes.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think the number one great scene, I'm not ranking them in order, but just
but you
how
didn't
they
call
happened.
The number one.
Well, what I'm saying is the first great scene
there
in the
go.
Episode, in the chronological order of the episode, was Tim Riggins' parole scene,
yeah.
Where Coach stood up for Tim Riggins, and then Buddy stood up for Tim Riggins, and you know, obviously it was a little funny because Buddy is kind of a
but then
kind
Buddy
of a clown,
actually ended
but he's
up
actually really
being
sweet.
Really touching and
yeah.
Yeah.
And we all remembered that Buddy has a connection to Tim because he dated Lila for a long time.
And we're like, oh yeah, Lila existed.
Yeah.
I
think
that
we're
was
all a little better off without Lila, but, you know.
Another really great scene, I don't remember exactly the chronological order, but was when Vince went up to Coach and
yeah,
finally told him,
and he
you know,
said, like, don't go, which was also the name of the episode.
But he said, you know, I don't know where I'd be without you, and that was touching. And then lastly, at the very end, when Coach said to the media, after this game, I'm going home to Dylan.
This is home.
And that's where I'm going to stay. And everyone clapped because they love him. Oh.
Tearjerker. And there are still 3 more episodes to jerk even more tears out of our eyes. What are we going to do?
As well as other things.
Invest in Kleenex. Stock. Get it? Invest in Kleenex stock.
I don't get it.
Because we're going to be using a lot of Kleenex.
For jerking tears.
Right.
Also, Tim Riggins.
Ooh-hoo-wee.
Yeah.
He's a handsome man.
So,
I kind of envision myself as, like, a Midwestern version of Tim Riggins.
Yeah, all of you listening at home, you want a picture, you want a little something for your
think
mind's
of, like,
eye.
A blonde Tim Riggins.
A blonde Tim Riggins is pretty much how I describe Qualler to everyone.
That's sweet of you, Bridget.
Yeah, a little shorter and a little less muscly and glasses.
If Tim Riggins were to have those qualities, I think they would look a lot like
if Tim
me.
Riggins had a nerdy little brother...
Okay, all right, that's enough. And finally, 6 Feet Under, recapping it over at theblogulator.com.
So another tearjerker.
We just watched...
This is probably why we've been so hostile in fighting, because we just watched a particularly hostile fighting episode.
Yeah, we're rewatching season 2 of 6 Feet Under at theblogulator.com, and we just rewatched episode 10 called The Secret, and it was kind of the polar opposite of Friday Night Lights' Don't Go, because instead of being about people building each other up and loving each other, this one was kind of more about what people do to each other when they're hurt.
Yeah.
And it was not pretty.
No, it was not.
We learned about Nate, who had a visit from Lisa, who was ready to sign away the rights to her as-yet-unborn child.
Maya.
Who certainly might not be named Maya later on. We don't know. Yet, obviously. Spoiler alert, her name is Maya. And then Nate had kind of a crisis in conscience. Thank you. Thinking about all of the unborn children that were aborted. Is that what we were supposed to get from that?
I think so. I don't know. It was a little pro-lifey for me.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
I'm just saying, 6 feet on Alan Ball.
Anyway,
Alan Ball had his finger in that one.
Yeah. So as Nate is wont to do, he had a total change of heart and said he wants to be involved in Maya's life. And Lisa, who... how much, like, Lisa, when she was introduced, was just so...
Weird.
And, like, my memory of Lisa now is from season 3, where she's a little less weird.
A lot less
And
weird.
A lot more, like... Nate, I can't believe you don't love her because she's perfect.
Yeah.
But in season 2, when they introduced her, she was so freaking crazy.
She wasn't.
Well, not crazy, just really strange. A really, really for a
too
show.
Too strange for Nate Fisher.
Too strange
say that?
For Nate Fisher and
Peter Krause's character needs a Monica Potter.
Oh yeah.
Right. Not a
a la Parenthood.
Right. We miss you. Come back soon.
Yeah, it'll be. This fall it'll be back. For a show that has so many kind of strange characters, doesn't really fit on season 2. It seems like she's from a different show, the scenes that she's in episode 10, The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting to see and to remember that's what happened. Anyway, so Nate tells her, oh, I'm going to be involved in the baby's life. And she's like, that's great. What does Brenda think? And he's like, oh, well, I haven't told her, obviously. And she's like, F you, Nate. Which
I get.
You know, if she would have just been like, F you, Nate, and then ended it there, spoiler alert, as the series goes on, I think we all would have been saved a lot of grief.
Oh, no. We couldn't have done without that whole season. I mean, that's all season 3.
I know. I'm saying it. If this were real life.
Oh, sure.
Obviously. It was a good dramatic decision on the show.
Maybe she'd still be alive.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Another spoiler.
Whatever. Who hasn't seen 6 Feet Under?
I know.
People die.
Yeah.
It's a
show's about death.
Actually, all the characters die.
Yeah. God.
What?
Stop spoiling everything.
Whatever, we all die.
That's true. One thing that I thought that was striking, I actually don't remember very much about this episode that we watched, and so it was kind of watching it like it was a new episode
with
of 16
fresh
Other
eyes.
Than I never saw. Yeah. Was the scene where Brenda went to sex therapy, and it was like, the scene was actually really, I can't help but think of other HBO shows that have take place in the therapist's room, obviously The Sopranos,
In Treatment,
obviously,
Tell Me You Love Me,
and I thought that was a really interesting scene of Brenda in therapy really trying to fix herself and really she made an effort to do it, and then it really abruptly...
She kind of wrote it off right away, though.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'm saying that in the scene, it seemed like she was ready to accept it, and then the scene ended really abruptly with, like, a voiceover of her saying, like, oh, God, this woman is so stupid. And then it just ended. And that was kind of jarring for me, personally.
Did you like it, or...?
I liked it until the very jarring end to the scene, and then I was kind of like, oh.
I'm going to tell you why I liked that jarring end to the scene.
Okay.
Because I think it was actually indicative... It was a good way of showing that Brenda's not actually trying.
Okay.
To make herself better. And I think
that
they did
show that.
But I think that was a good way of showing it, because it was... The therapist started to say, like, okay, this is what I specialize in, this is basically what I think you have, and Brenda, through Brenda's mind, it's the therapist's, like, a voiceover of Brenda imagining the therapist saying, actually, I totally admire what you're doing, everyone else is stupid, and you don't need therapy at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, Brenda showing that she's, at this point, actually totally closed off to, like, exploring who she really is, which then, I think, parallels really nicely with later on in that episode when she sort of quote-unquote breaks up with that prostitute friend
mm-hmm.
that she's made, and that woman says to Brenda, you know, you're just too scared to look at yourself and see what you really are, so you're just gonna blame it on someone else right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like the therapy episode and the way she just ended it abruptly, or the way that, not she, but the way that episode was cut, like that really nicely paralleled the way that she ended things with that friend and kind of what the friend was saying back to her. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think more than anything, 6 Feet Under is a great show at showing the inner lives of the characters.
Uh-huh.
I think that was a particularly strong episode for
all right,
showing
Alan Ball,
that to
I like
Brenda.
You.
See? And, right. And this one... So, you know, that was a really interesting touch. And season two, I think, goes... I think from episode 8 and beyond, and now that we're rewatching it, it really goes to some dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good TV in that way.
Yes.
And obviously, as the series goes on, I think there is some redemption for certain characters. And
yeah,
we'll
I'd say so.
Talk about that later. But... Alan Ball, that's
you have our vote.
Yeah.
But you don't have to keep doing...
You are hereby excused from True Blood.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
All right. Whew.
So, Bridget...
Are we done fighting?
I think we're... Are we fighting anymore?
I don't know. I don't know. Everybody dies, but clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose. Oh, my God. Remember when Gracie Ball started saying it?
Mm-hmm.
In this week's... Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah, that was really another crying.
Adorable.
Yeah.
I think Gracie Ball...
Oh, and when Luke Cafferty was sitting looking at the farm with Becky, and he said,
God.
Could you imagine yourself living on a farm?
Oh,
and
God. She said, yeah. I know.
Oh, I love you
They're
again,
like
Waller.
They're like the cutest effing
Six Feet Under
ever.
Makes me hate you, but...
Right. But not as much as Real Housewives makes you hate me.
And
neither
of those is as much as Friday Night Lights makes me love you.
That's true.
So.
Thank you, Eric and Tammy Taylor.
Thank you, television, for helping me feel things again.
We just had a really productive...
yeah, I think we just found out some things about ourselves.
Yeah.
See? TV.
Way to go, TV.
Keep watching.
Way to go. I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
Bridget, and our opinions are valid. Thanks for listening. Check back with us next time, and have a great week.